Good morning, our dear brothers and sisters in Christ. This chapter has a lot of good information, as well as it is a profound exhortation to each and every one of us as we're here today, assembled under this tabernacle. Firstly, I want to convey the love and fraternal fellowship and greetings from Sister Lenny Henning in Weatherford, Texas. She asked me to give a hello to each and everyone here as we gather under this tabernacle. And also from the brothers and sisters in Uganda and in Kenya, they send their love and greetings to each and everyone here. The chapter opens up, the chapter 9 opens up when the children of Israel are fasting and putting on sackcloth and earth with them. And we see this as a sign of great humility. It comes at a time when, after the Feast of Tabernacles, that Nehemiah was capitalizing upon the renewed favor of the people who had just kept his feast. For us, we see that the children of Israel were in humble prostrate before Yahweh. And they separated themselves, in verse 2, from all the strangers and stood and confessed their sins and iniquity of their brethren. We're here this week at the high grounds to study and to meditate upon these words and other words of Scripture, and also to a fellowship one with another. Are we in the same mindset as the children of Israel were in these first three verses? Are we in total humbleness as we open these pages and study and hear these words of exhortation and hear the words of the comments that are about to be made in the classes? Are we renewing our spiritual strength? Are we coming to God in humility, seeking for forgiveness of our sins? Some things we have to consider as we meditate upon these words. So the foreigners in verse 2, the foreigners were removed, a time of separation, of confessing our sins, of remorse and forgiveness. The exhortation here for us is that we, in our lives, need to separate ourselves from the world. We need to renew ourselves. Hence the words of the hymn that we sung this morning, "Come, let us renew our journey, pursue." In verse 3, the law was read before the people, a reminder of God's mercy, a reminder of what God requires of the children of Israel. And we are reading these very words. Is it a reminder of us, of the laws of Christ, of the laws of God, that we read in the Scriptures? Let us remember these things as we go through this chapter. Now we notice in verse 4 and 5, there were 8 men of the Levites that were called out. And those of us who are significant with numbers, we see 8 as being a superabundance. And it reminds us of the superabundant mercies of God. How bountiful are His mercies toward us. How bountiful was His mercy towards the children of Israel. And the chapter goes on to emphasize the greatness and the power of Yahweh. Verse 6, Even thou art Yahweh alone. Thou hast made heaven and heavens of heavens, and all their hosts, the earth, and all things that are therein. Thou art Yahweh Elohim, He who shall be the mighty ones. And He was manifest when He went before the children of Israel in battle to purge the land that was promised to them when they were given the land. We read these chapters in the first portion of our daily readings over the last couple of weeks. And we see how Yahweh was with the children of Israel. And His might was manifested through them when they defeated the various armies of the nations around them. But verse 7 comes into the history of the children of Israel, of whom Abraham, the father of the nation, was brought out of Ur of the Chaldees, changed his name from Abram to Abraham after he showed how faithful he was in offering his son Isaac. These things were put into the minds of the people as they separated themselves. They were asked to remember, they were forced to remember their history. The history of separation, the history of how their father did for them, of what their father did, and how they were chosen as a people, as Yahweh says in Deuteronomy, "Ye are my witnesses, ye are my witnesses," saith Yahweh. And he goes into, this is the prayer of Ezra, and he goes into the how the covenant was given to the people to inherit the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, verse 8. And he shall give unto the seed. And we see the twofold meaning of this verse, that in that time they inherited the land, but also shows us the picture of the inheritance of the land when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. But then he goes into the affliction of the father when the Jewish fathers in Egypt were suffering under Pharaoh. And Yahweh heard their cry. Brothers and sisters, when we face trials and tribulations in our lives, do we cry to Yahweh? Do we go on our knees and ask Yahweh for strength and guidance in the various trials that we face in our lives? Or do we believe in ourselves so much that we neglect our Heavenly Father and try to figure out how to deal with the trials of our lives on our own? And we know how futile and how nearsighted and how our nature is. And we cannot of ourselves accomplish and overcome the trials that we face. Like the children of Israel when they cried in Egypt, we too must cry to Yahweh in our times of trial and tribulation. And He shows the mercies of Yahweh. When He showed the signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and his servant, and after they left Egypt, He divided the sea. He divided the seas so they can pass through on dry land to the land to their journey in the wilderness. And we know that, and we have heard this before, that it signifies a time of baptism. And it signifies our baptism when we went through those waters and we came out anew and the journey into the wilderness started. But throughout this chapter we see that Yahweh did not abandon the children of Israel so long as they turned to Him. We were reminded a couple of weeks ago, and I brought this point up because it was so refreshed in my mind, that when Samuel went to Yahweh and said, "The people desires the king like the nations around them," and Samuel was saddened, and Yahweh looked upon Samuel and said, "Do not feel sad, or do not be saddened. They're not rejecting you; they're rejecting me." When we in our lives abandon Yahweh, and seek to do things on our own powers, we are doing the same things. We are doing the very same things that the children of Israel did when they cried to Samuel to give them a king from like the nations. And in essence, they're rejecting Yahweh. And even after the warnings that God told Samuel to tell the people still hardened their hearts, still stiff-necked. Basically telling, we don't care what Yahweh says, we want a king like the nations. And they got what they deserved. They got what they asked for. There's a saying in the world today that says, be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. But in all of this, Yahweh showed mercy to the children of Israel. I will not leave you nor forsake you, he says. Shows his bountiful mercies toward us. And as we go forward to verse 16, it reminds us that they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not unto thy commandments. But did Yahweh forsake them? No, he didn't. Each and every time they turn, in their time of need and desolation, they turned to Yahweh. He heard their cries. Brother Jim Somerville gave the encouraging words this morning. And I pulled it up and it read, he brought to mind the book of the Judges, where he speaks about, and again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh. And Brother Jim has emphasized that word, and again. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh. Hardening their necks at God's commandments. It shows our nature. When we read these chapters and we read these words, do we think that we are immune from these things? If we think so, then we really need to examine ourselves. We really need to understand how our nature is. In verse 17, they refused to obey, neither mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them. Imagine a nation that witnessed the miracles and the wonders of Yahweh. We read these things in these chapters in the Bible. They were living it. And even living it, they hardened their hearts. They refused to obey the commands of God. They even went, in verse 18, as far as making a molten calf, saying to themselves, this is thy God that brought us out of Egypt. A molten calf. Reading this, we feel like they have insulted God, and that's what they did. All the miracles and all the things that God has performed, after hearing their cry, they built a molten calf and said, this is thy God which brought thee out of Egypt. In our lives, when we have abundance, do we look ourselves in the mirror and say, I have done this on my own accomplishment? With my hard work, I've gotten this. Is that what we say to ourselves? Or do we give the honor and praise to Yahweh, the provider of all things that we have, the houses that we dwell in, the cars that we drive, the jobs that we have? Do we not see that these things are provided by God for us? Or do we believe that it is our hard work and our own sacrifice that we are given these things? I know time is short and I'm not going to go much further into this, but I want us to point to verse 26 of this chapter 9. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew thy prophets which testified against them, to turn them to thee. they wrought great provocation. When I read this verse, it reminds me of when Christ stood on the outskirts of Jerusalem and he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets." And I imagine that Christ is remembering these very same words. But it's not just these words, but it's all over in the history of the children of Israel. How they killed the prophets. And how they murdered the people that brought the message and the warnings from Yahweh. We don't want to hear that. Let's kill him. Let's shut him up. Do we do that in our lives? Do we, after reading a chapter, "I don't want to read that," and shut it out? But Yahweh delivered them in their hands of their enemies, verse 27. And the same thing happens again. They cry unto Yahweh and he delivers them. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh. "Behold, we thy servants," verse 36, "this day and for the land that thou gavest to our fathers to eat thereof, the goods of the land flowing with milk and honey." But they were servants because of their disobedience. "They had kings ruling over them and taking the spoil away from them." And it's the same with us, brothers and sisters. If we turn our backs and harden our necks against the word of God, the abundance that should be ours will be given to others, and we shall be left without. But let us be afresh to know that the mercies of God are abundant. Let us understand that we need to turn to Yahweh in our lives. Not like the children of Israel. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh. But to evermore yearn for the time when Christ shall come to set up that grand and glorious kingdom. "And the kings whom thou settest over us because of our sins," verse 37, "and they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle and over their, and at their pleasure, we are in great distress." We are in great distress when we turn our backs from God, because we are stiff-necked people. But it is our nature, and God knows that. And that's why His mercies are abounding. All we need to do is to turn to Him in prayer and to follow His precepts as He's commanded before, as He commands in the words of Scripture. "Come, let us renew our journey, pursue."